Hello. Gosh, it's good to be here. So good to be here. Well, I watched Bernetta's talk and the presentation and all that this week. Powerful service.
Yeah.
Powerful service. I know that she's doing the 12 powers this year, and 12 faculties, 12 powers, those innate faculties that we have within us. Each and every one of us has them. Some are more developed than others, and in bringing them out as best we can, we become more Christ-like. So it is a worthwhile effort to listen, to embody, to find ways to expand these faculties, these powers. And this week is, or this month, is imagination. Imagination is one of my favorites. It was imagination that allowed me to see a beautiful Palomino horse that I rode when I would go to my cousin's house. If you actually saw me, I was on the stick. We would go out and find sticks that were, you know, a little over waist high, and then we'd choose our horse, and Roy Rogers had a Palomino named Trigger, if you go that far back. Anyway, imagination then allows us to have richer lives. You know, if and as we use our imagination, we can create the lives we want. So imagination is really powerful. Why do we need it? You know, I mean, we could get by possibly without it. I can't imagine that myself, but I guess it's possible. Why do we need it apart from seeing horses where there are only sticks? There might be other reasons too. But I think that without imagination, we miss a lot. We miss opportunities and solutions and just so much. Options, we don't see options, which reminds me of a time when I was married. This was in the mid-80s, and I was married with children at home. My husband had to be in the hospital for several weeks, and at the time, so I've been working full-time, I had these kids at home. We also owned a, was it the same thing? Yeah, we also owned a rental building down in the city, and I remember during that time when he was in the hospital, one of the tenants' water flooded, you know, it was coming out the window, and they called. There was a lot going on, and I needed to go and visit my husband because he was wanting company too. So I remember talking to my friend Donna. You might remember me talking about Donna, my best friend from forever, and we were talking, and she said, why don't you suspend the carpooling? Oh, what an idea. There were three of us in the carpool, my husband, myself, and one other guy, Charlie. He lived in the subdivision. He lived at, you know, worked the same hours as us, the same building. So we've been carpooling for some time. It never occurred to me that I could let that go. Talked to him. He was fine with it. He began driving. It just opened up so much freedom. I was able to leave work when I needed to. I could stop by the hospital on the way home. It was on King's Highway, so I could stop on the way home rather than making a trip. I never would have thought of it. It was imaginative. That was an option that hadn't occurred to me. Without imagination, we might be used to just seeing things the way they are. There's this and this and this. That's it. You know, that's the way it is. And so we might not think about what could be. You know? So we might say no to, well, would you like to do such and such? I don't think so. No, it's not in my little knowledge box here. You know, so we might miss out on opportunities, adventures even. It reminds me that of a time when I was serving as associate minister down at First Unity, and they lost one of their Sunday school, well, I mean, didn't lose her, one of their Sunday school staff, volunteers, resigned or quit, and so they needed somebody. So I did that for several months, and I had the 3 to 5 year olds, which was kind of frustrating, kind of fun. But anyway, one Sunday I decided that we would do what I call a group story. So I had them line up, and you know, there were maybe 8 to 10 kids there. And I started it out with something like, you know, once upon a time there was a, you know, da 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 da. And then the next child, or the child, would add on to the story. You know, then they would say something and the story would go on. There were probably 8-ish kids, 8-10 kids, something like that, and over half of them could do it. They did it, and they were able to. But there were two or three that just didn't have a clue on what I wanted them to say. You know, and I felt really sad that their imagination had not been developed at all. So there was one little girl that was just bouncing up and down. She was so excited. She loved the game. She added her contribution in a very imaginative way. And then she went and she would stand next to whoever's turn it was, so that if they didn't know what to say, then she would add hers. Sorry, I'll stand here. So she got a chance to help out the others who were having a hard time figuring out how to do it. I think there's a real need for imagination. I think it is such powerful power. Such powerful power. I learned something from my grandmother that I think has helped me quite a bit. I'll share it with you and see, maybe it'll be something that would be beneficial to you. So, now you know, because I've talked about my grandma before, and you know that she was probably one of the most important people in my life. She was, she showed me what it was, and she gave me unconditional love. I loved my grandmother. She loved me. She always wanted a girl. She had 4 sons and then 3 grandsons before I came along. So you know that when I got there, I was the recipient of all this pent-up love. I just reveled in it. It was amazing. I got to, I adored my grandmother, so I tried to do what she did, I tried to do things like she did, and I got to, I noticed, finally, that she had a word, and the word was well, W-E-L-L. She could do so much with that word. It was just incredible. Depending on the intonation, somebody, well, how she said volumes. And because she was so special to me, I believe, I can't verify it for certain after she's gone, but I believe that I learned what some of those wells meant. I would watch her, and usually the well was when she was responding to someone who was talking. Now, a good thing or a wonderful thing about my grandmother was when she was listening to somebody, she was present. Mm-hmm. She was listening. She was there. It was a good lesson. All these different meanings. So one of them was, I didn't know that. I mean, she didn't say I didn't know that, but that was the, I can't do well like Grandma could do well. But just imagine that my interpretations are accurate. Sometimes well would mean I didn't know that. Sometimes I believe that well was interesting, but I don't really believe you. there was a tell me more, and if she did that, it was kind of it ended up, you know. So tell, oh no, well, and she would look at me, you know, and I would know that she would keep talking, you know. She wanted more. Tell me more. There was, well, And that was not a good well. There's something that's not right about that. But the one I really wanted to focus on today was when she would say well, and I think that she was meaning, imagine that. And when she would say well in that way, well, imagine that. I think that, you know, what I saw when I would see her say it that way was just sort of this really positive, incredulous. She was incredulous, you know, just like, that's great, you know, just very, it's more than I didn't know that. It was sort of like, I couldn't even imagine that, but wow, you know, that's the attitude that I think that my grandma would add when she would hear something that imagine that was what I experienced, what I believe that was she was experiencing. Well, imagine that. And I love that attitude. Think back to the hospital example. If when my friend, if Donna had said, you know, why don't you just ban the carpool, imagine that, you know. I hadn't thought of it. What if I was defensive? What if I just was closed off to it? Then I'm not receptive, I guess. And so to me, that's what my grandmother's attitude towards something that she couldn't even imagine was. It was receptive. It was open. I love it. So that I've tried to do that and be that way. Unity has you probably heard it, a phrase is called the creation process. Mm-hmm. And it is mind, idea, expression. If you look at it in the physical, in the relative, in the human sense, and that we can look at it that way, and there's also the spiritual, the divine sense of the creation process. Humanly, mind, we have minds. Idea, an idea can come. My friend Donna planted an idea in my mind. You know, you don't have to do it this way. An idea can come from the radio. It can come from something you see. It can come from your dreams. An idea can come from anywhere, but it has to be there. If you're talking about creation, it has to be there. Then the last piece is expression. And if it is a seed that grows in your mind, something that you like and it embeds itself, then you do what you can do to bring it into manifestation. And that's a good thing. I have learned myself well, and I know myself well enough to know that I need to give myself at least overnight for some of the ideas that I get. Some of them are really, the second day, no, that would never work. So you give yourself a little time and see which, not every idea comes into expression, but that's the process. Mind, idea, some of those ideas seed and grow, and then we can bring those into expression. Okay, that's the process of creation. In a spiritual sense, mind is God mind. And we know it is substance. It is that pool of all there is. There is already in this huge pool called Source, called God, called all that is what my son calls it. God mind. Everything's there. Idea. In Unity, they teach us that the idea of humankind is perfect. Charles Fillmore calls it perfect man. Not politically correct anymore, you know, but perfect man. And then the expression of that was Christ Jesus. It is said, the way I learned it was, Christ is in Christ, it's Christ Jesus, because he has fully become his highest self. He has fully become the Christ. And that is the expression of this creation process in the spiritual. And we can also do spiritual creation kind of meshing both of them, but as in this mind we access that part of us that has access to all there is, and in that alignment then divine ideas. I love what Bernetta said last week. She was talking about angels coming up and down from into heaven and down. And she was saying that, I believe heaven was consciousness. It was this source. It was this pool here. And the angels were divine ideas. Mm-hmm. We know that Myrtle Fillmore says that those longings that we have, those are divine ideas. And in other places I've heard that divine ideas are God's currency. I used to pray for a bicycle. I wanted God to put it on the front porch. But didn't exactly happen. I did get the bike, but it was through relatives, you know, that found one. So divine ideas are the currency that God uses to enable us to manifest what we want and need in our lives. So that's the creation process. And I believe that imagination is critical to that middle part, to the idea part. Because as we expand our imagination, then we are better able to be fertile ground for ideas. Ideas and divine ideas. Because we can imagine more. Creation works whether the idea is good or not, is positive or not. My daughter, when she was a little girl, we got her a set of books. I think they were called Sweet Pickles. And there was one character called Very Worried Walrus. And Very Worried Walrus always worried about everything that was to come. So, if, you know, an example would be, you know, do you want to come and go to lunch with me? Well, I might go outside and I might fall on the step, and then I would fall on the step and crack open my head, and then maybe nobody would find me for a long time. I'd lost a lot of blood and I'd have to go to the hospital. You know, nothing had happened, you know, but Very Worried Walrus just kept focusing on all the bad things that could happen. You know, it was of course exaggerated so that we get the idea, you know, us and our kids. Don't focus on that. But the idea is that creation process works. Whatever idea we plant in there and give it room to grow and express, it'll show up too. If we keep focusing on a bank balance that isn't what we want it to be, and we keep looking at it, oh my goodness, and we might come over here, I am prosperous and have everything I need, and then come back over here and go, what am I going to do? I don't know. Where are we spending all our time, our thinking, our everything is focused on this, what I don't want. So we have the choice on how we're going to create, how we're going to use our imagination. So what are we going to do? Well, I think what it takes is relationship. I told you how I feel about my grandmother and how she felt about me. I trusted my grandmother completely. I absolutely knew that she would do anything to protect me, to take care of me. She would come in and sleep with me at night if I was, you know, I trusted her completely. I don't know that I've ever trusted anybody so much as I did her. I knew that she was only interested in my good. I had a strong desire to be with her. From the time I was fairly young, I mean, not baby or anything, but I loved to spend the night with her. I wanted to be around her. I listened to her. I followed her around as she did her chores. I snapped beans with her. I didn't feed the chickens. I was with her when she fed the chickens, you know. Everything I could. I wanted to be with her. I loved her. I loved her. And she loved me. That was that unconditional love. Some of us have been fortunate to have unconditional love in our lives, and I'm very grateful that I had it. Where do we know, though, that we can always get unconditional love? This is part we. God. Yeah, that divinity, whatever you call God. That's what can tell us how we're going to create. Because if and as we nurture this relationship with God, as we trust God, we really trust God. When I was in ministerial school, we were asked a question. I don't think I've said this here. If I have, forgive me. I'll just repeat it. But the question was, do you think the universe is friendly? And when you think about it, some people were saying no in my ministerial class. They were saying, no, I don't think the universe is friendly and supportive. No. But if you substitute the word God for universe, if they're interchangeable, do you think God is friendly? Do you think God is supportive? So perhaps we can look at, are we really trusting? And if we're not, what can we do about it? We can spend time with God. You know, and that's all the time that I spent with my grandmother was helping me to learn from her, she emulated some things I thought, I don't think I want to be that. She's this bus. If we want to be with God, and you know yourself, if you've been in meditation, there is just, you know, often it'll start with just a sense of calm after you come apart for a while and you take time to meditate. And the more consistently and persistently you do that, the more you know that connection, the more you are aligned in it. And then, so there's the trust, the being with, and then the love. Then you experience that connection, that love. You are that love, actually. And it is in that relationship. That's where your propeller for imagination, for creation comes from. That's how you can guide in spirit away from eating a whole chocolate cake at one sitting. It's an idea. Into what is going to feed my soul? What is going to make me a better person? How can I serve in this world? Whatever it is that I'm interested in. God, that awareness, that relationship that we have with the divine, that closeness, that oneness. We say, God and I are one. It's true. And the more we know that, the more we feel it, the more we practice it, the more we trust it, the better able we are to create. Last week, Vernetta had us envision, was her word. I think envision what you want to be like for ourselves. What do you want to be like? And I would add to the word envision, she also used image. Image what you want to be like. I would add imagine what you want to be like. And when I think about what I want to be like, I'm not trying to get myself back to my younger years. I am envisioning myself healthy enough to ride my bicycle with the wind blowing in my hair. I'm envisioning myself, imaging myself, imagining myself capable of walking and hiking and all of that kind of thing. I'm imagining myself enjoying relationships in my life. That's what I'm envisioning, imaging, imagining. She suggested that we consider what we want when we consider the churches, Unity churches in the area. How do we want to image being with these other communities? And I would suggest we could do that with the world. Does the world need it? Oh my goodness, yes. If we can imagine what it would be like to interact with anybody, doesn't matter who, whether we know their language or not, what a world we could create. create a world that works for all. Imagine that. And then, finally, imagine a planet, our planet Earth, whole, healed, renewed, so that we put back, or do the best we can to stop deleting or depleting the resources. We imagine our planet whole, thriving. Imagination. It is a powerful, powerful faculty that we have, and it's like a huge fire hose. Where are we gonna point it? We can be, and I invite us to all consider being this, well, be receptive, open, willing, curious, positive. Well, imagine that. God bless you. In our imagining, let's pause for a moment and remember, think about what our master teacher Jesus Christ, what he went through, what he learned, what he gained, and then as he taught us, so that we have some guidance, so that we have some divinity, some steering on how we are to be. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. So let's come together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So staying in these words, in this energy, this atmosphere of our master teacher and his teachings, we become still. We become aware of the truth of what we are. Magnificent creations of the Most High. And as we still our minds, still our bodies, we allow that to just settle in us, to resonate in us. All of the outer falls away. Any of the conflict, the worries, the stress, anything that seems to drain our energy, we just put that aside. Because the truth is, right here, right now, we are one. We are in the presence of the One. We are the One. All is well. We are safe. And as we pause, we are given a chance once again to replenish, to refresh, to renew, to re-energize. We take time to become still, and then we become open, listening, if you will, receptive to that inner Christ voice. And that inner Christ voice is unique. It's in each of us, and it has unique things to say to us. It may tell us to rest. It may tell us to get busy. It may tell us to be peaceful. It may be guidance. It may be wisdom. It may be that voice, that divine access, the Spirit of Christ is our personal
guidance system, our personal source of all that is. We rest quietly. We allow, in this connection, this alignment, we allow our minds to open, to be receptive, to be willing, and in doing so we know that we are creating that fertile ground for seeds to come, whether today, tonight, or next week. We have fertile ground so that our imaginations can cause that seed to expand in ways we might not have realized before. And then we can bring those into expression. They are divinely inspired, and we can trust. So as we do each week, let us take some time in silence and invite you to be in that open, receptive, willing, waiting space of idea, that creative time of possibility in the silence, listening, waiting, trusting. We take time like this to come apart, to be still, to listen, to align. We come away being the truth of what we are. We come away as peace. We come away as love. And that love radiates out into the world. We come away as joy. This is what we are. This is what we have come here to do, to be. To be Christ in expression. And as we bring this time of connection, contemplation to a close, we bring with it that intention of willingness, that intention of joy, that intention of allowing these faculties to grow, expand, and most especially to allow imagination to create beautiful, fulfilling, satisfying, joy-filled, fun lives. We know that gratitude is the key to drawing to us that which we want, need, and so we are grateful. Grateful for all that we have. Grateful for all that is claimed. It is in the naming it that it is possible for it to become manifest. So in advance, we give thanks. We give thanks for our connection, unconditional love that God, Source, Creator has for us. For all this, we are grateful. We say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.